Welcome to Win with Richardson & Richardson. What's important now? Success in business most often comes down to hard work, not by silver bullets and quick fixes. It's knowing where to focus that hard work that's key to winning. Join sales prospecting expert and three-time seven-figure business founder Carrie Richardson and managing partner of R&R Consulting and former owner of Doberman Technologies, Ian Richardson, for radical honesty regarding strategic planning, accountability, and execution that will get you the systematic results you're working toward. Let's get into today's episode. Thought leader and your host, Carrie Richardson.
Hi there, I'm Carrie Richardson, one of the partners of Richardson and Richardson Consulting and the host of Win, What's Important Now. With me today is Debbie Keston, who spent 20 years in marketing for IBM prior to founding Keston Impact Consulting.
Hi everyone, I'm Debbie Keston Schellkraut, and I'm founder and president of Keston Impact Consulting. And I'm excited to be here to talk to you about MDF today. And just very quickly, earlier in my career, I ran an agency within an agency for IBM Business Partners, helping them to create their advertising and marketing initiatives. And I was then invited to join IBM to start channel marketing there for the PC division, and then worked in other groups. And what you know today is IBM Partner Plus, previously IBM Partner World. I helped build that program. So during my 20 plus years at IBM, I've built and executed many channel marketing programs, worked with 140 distributors around the globe to help with partner recruitment, enablement, demand generation, and lead pass programs, and also worked with partners delivering, I think it was about 150 or so workshops to partners, teaching them basically how to maximize their marketing presence, their digital presence on web and social, and how to leverage and commercial as content marketing available to them. And then earlier this year, I opened up my own consulting business and have been meeting and helping with many MSPs on various aspects of their business.
We're happy to have you. And it's really exciting to talk about MDF because it isn't something that gets taken advantage of very often. The general consensus that I found with managed sales pros and would suggest to a company that maybe they should talk to their vendors about the MDF that might be available, or JMF, depending on what area you come from. There's MDF is Market Development Funds, JMF, right. Joint Marketing Funds. So for those of you who've never explored the magical land of free money from your vendors, this is going to be a very eye-opening episode for you. So one of the things that we found was that people didn't apply for joint marketing funds because they didn't want to do the paperwork that was affiliated with receiving the money. So I think back in the day, it was more of a free-for-all, right? Like your partners would give you joint marketing funds. You could do whatever you wanted, right? Like people were just buying t-shirts and hosting events. And there was no real way for the vendor to determine what their return on investment was for those marketing spends. So obviously, those days ended. People had to be better caretakers of the money that their vendors would provide to them. And now reporting is required, and you usually have to be a certain level of partner. So I'm going to let Debbie take it from here. One of her areas of expertise has been successfully applying for market development funds for her partners, and that is a service that she's offering to the MSP makeover. So Debbie, tell us about MDF. How do we find it? How do you help people get more of it?
Absolutely, and feel free to ask me questions and stop me along the way, because there's a lot to talk about, but it's not as, I think, hard as people think. I think there's this fear, like you said, of the administrative aspects of it, the proof of performance. And think about it, when somebody's giving you money, everybody needs to have some kind of ROI or accountability for their spending, right? So it's not unreasonable, but I think vendors have been hearing partners loud and clear on trying to keep things more simple. So let's just back up for a minute. Vendors do have funds, and they do want their partners to use them for marketing. And just as a sidebar, distributors often have some kind of co-marketing or market development funds as well for supporting partners. They also want you to use them. So we should just keep that in mind. We're going to probably maybe focus on vendors a little bit more, but don't forget your disties. they very often will have funds. They may have different requirements. Sometimes they're easier, sometimes they're not, but it's definitely something to not forget about because that could be more money on the table for you. So here's the challenge we want to uncover for you today, right? MDF or JDF or co-marketing dollars are available typically to MSPs, and who would want to leave that money on the table, right? And significant amounts of money, as Carrie said, are left on the table year after year. I think I heard some crazy stat last month that somebody said that there's only on average about 14% of funds generally are utilized, which means there's a lot of money that's just sitting there, right? Which is a loss, right? Because the challenge is that MSPs don't have a dedicated marketing staff sometimes or often. And even if they do, it's difficult to find that time to navigate through what are all the T's and C's. If you work with multiple vendors or multiple distributors, you're not really sure how to access those funds and then how to go through the administrative processes to leverage them. So it's fear of upfront spend. It's fear of administrivia. It's fear that what if we don't perform on that marketing initiative, time, and it's just overwhelming. So what we want to uncover today is for you to better understand what these funds are, what they typically cover, how to maximize the opportunity to use those funds to grow your business. Sound good?
Great. That sounds perfect. Let's start at the very beginning. How does an MSP know whether or not there are marketing funds available? For example, maybe 2 years ago, Microsoft did a promotion where if you could get 5 people into an online event, they would give you $2,500 cash. And if you could get more than 2,500, you got like an incremental, like almost like a kicker on that money. So if you could get 5 people, whether they were already using Microsoft products or not, into a webinar, you could make up to almost $5,000 per webinar. We couldn't convince a single person to do it, even with free money. Why?
Again, I guess it's just this fear of what's the administrivia behind, where the strings attached, right? It's really important for partners to first understand, do they have funds? Do they have access to funds? And usually the way to do that is people get overwhelmed. They want to have to go look in the partner portal or look through their emails. But if you've got some kind of rep or focal point, that's the first place to start. And if you don't have one, trying to get one. Most partners should have some kind of rep. Some reps may handle multiple partners, but trying to find that champion in the vendor is really key. Who owns marketing funds? Who owns MDF? Finding out who they are and trying to, you know, establish a relationship is really key. But start out, go to the partner portal. I don't know. Sometimes, obviously, an MSP is working with multiple vendors, but pick one. Pick the one you do the most business with and go to their partner portal and look to see what's there. There's usually something published as a starting ground, and so you can understand what you qualify for. But getting a rep is really a really good way to have a focal point. And then be proactive, like plan ahead, right? So the way we're, like right now we're in Q4. Everybody's focused on wrapping up the year and their numbers. But right now is when you need to be thinking about funds available for Q1. Like once you hit Q1, guess what? Vendors and even distributors are already thinking about planning for Q2. So ideally, one full quarter ahead of time would be the time to look into asking for money that you want to implement something. There's also sometimes there's a minimum threshold to qualify. And if that's the case, you want to understand what that is. And sometimes there's just gradated like amounts of money that can be available to a partner depending on what revenue they've shown in the prior year. So it really can vary. Unfortunately, vendors are not consistent between their programs across the industry. So it's good to really just find out the base of what is the program, how do you qualify, and how soon in advance do you need to apply for something. To your point earlier, because people are overwhelmed, vendors are trying to make it easier. Having lived at a vendor for many years and having worked with a lot of distributors and other vendors partnering, they do want to try to make it easier. So I really encourage any MSP who's been trying to use MDF or co-marketing to give feedback on what you need to be successful. What are you finding hard? let them know, because they want you to use the funding, because it's a win, right? If you implement a lead generation campaign and you sell more, that's good for everybody. It's good for the distributor. It's good for the vendor. It's certainly good for you. So they want you to be successful. Let them know where things seem to get stuck. Is it like in the application process? Is it in you've submitted and never heard back? Is it that you've been rejected? Like what, whatever the hangup is, it's really important to share what that, whatever that might be. So they're looking to create templates. Sometimes ask, was there a, at IBM, we had a marketing, digital marketing content platform. There's a lot of different companies out there that provide that kind of content and service that vendors are using. So sometimes there's like templates that are like pre-created that you can work off of. Now, obviously nobody wants to look exactly like another partner's communication, but it gives you a good starting ground, because sometimes it's hard to figure out where to start on creating a template, whether it's for an email or a social media post or whatever it may be, or an invitation to an event. And sometimes they have marketing agency partners who will provide special rates or discounts for partners as well. So it's good to really understand, again, the forms and the process for applying, the deadlines for applying, if there's templates, if there's agency support or access, anything that might be discounted or free. Got to ask the questions.
In your experience, which partners have regularly available MDF or JMF?
Sometimes there's these different levels in programs, right? Whether it's like a silver, gold, platinum, or whatever it is. Obviously, the partners in the highest tiers are absolutely usually getting funds because they're delivering. But don't assume if you're a smaller partner with a smaller revenue base that you're not, because a lot of vendors will have jumpstart kinds of offerings to get those partners to grow their business. Also, I don't want to forget to mention that sometimes it's not easy to find MDF or co-marketing called that. Some vendors will include it as part of their front end or back end rebate programs. So that might be another place to. And some of those programs will allow you to earn back a percentage for everything you sell.
So if I'm a smaller MSP partner, I've never taken advantage of any of the offers that have been made by my vendors to date. How can you help me navigate that?
So, you know, if a small partner doesn't have like a solid contact at a vendor or one that they can find, distributors are supposed to help be that. I hate to use the expression middleman because there's so much more, but they facilitate working with the vendor by reaching out to your distributor contact, and everybody should have a distributor contact. They can help you navigate if they've got funding available for you, and B, who at the vendor, you know, is in charge of co-marketing or MDF. And what's really key is being able to submit a proposal. Usually, I know that this worked ultimately at IBM because we tweaked the program, you know, throughout the years. Submitting a marketing proposal, again, in the prior quarter gets you earmarked for funding. So if usually that gets approved because you've committed to doing something, those dollars are committed for you. And when you go to execute, it's really important whether it went well or not, whether it went as planned or whether you did or didn't get the number of people you were hoping to get, you still executed. You still made an effort to implement some kind of demand generation initiative. So it's important to still submit. Here's what we did. Here's the number of emails we sent out, the number of social posts we did. If you know how to track impressions, it's usually showing to you right there on a post. Whatever you did to try to get people there, the number of people that showed up, vendors recognize that there isn't instant sales very often, right? There's pipeline, right? And it takes time to complete that sale. You're not going to automatically have very often any kind of, hey, we won X million dollars of business or whatever from that effort. It takes time, but you've gotten some leads of some sort, whether it was 5 or 10 or 100, you've gotten some leads from the people that participated or showed up. So that's what you just have to show the vendor. If you show the vendor effort, you've planned, you've executed, this is the outcome, hopefully every time you do something in life, we learn from it, maybe what worked, what didn't. And you have to keep trying. And vendors recognize that. So, you know, a partner shouldn't feel that, oh, it didn't go, forget about it. They're not going to do anything for me. If you made the effort, they're going to support it. And the other thing to be careful of, sorry, I just want to mention a couple of tips on thinking as we go along the way is if you are doing an event, let's say it's a demo event or a webinar, whatever it may be, or a tabletop event, and you're showcasing technology, but you might be showing multiple vendors. I think it's really good to be transparent about that, because if a vendor says, oh, you didn't make this exclusive to me, we don't want to fund you, you don't want to be caught with that being an issue later on. Vendors recognize that sometimes you're going to have multiple solutions that you're going to share and highlight, and then they may prorate it as opposed to just outright reject it. So I think it's just something to understand what the rules are, if it has to be exclusive to that vendor or if it can be a multi-vendor thing that you're doing, so that you can get the percentage from each of those vendors if you're doing a multi-solutioned approach. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. In our experience back in the day, we used to invite people to a lot of co-sponsored events. We used to do them ourselves. So yep. Cisco was a big partner of ours back in the day, and they would sponsor a cigar lounge, for example. Mm-hmm. We did most of the logistics. We'd have to apply for approval for costs, and we'd have to submit a plan for how we were going to get people to come to the event. But ultimately, it was a co-marketed event between Managed Sales Pros and Cisco, and at the end of it, win or lose, we'd have to provide a list of everybody that showed up and, you know, everything that we learned about them through, because it's not just about people attending the event. Most of the time we acquired the email addresses for 20 MSPs that we didn't have yet. And they gave us this information, and X percent of them are already buying from Cisco and X percent are not. So at the end of the day, we've got 4 or 5 MSPs that aren't currently buying from Cisco. And now we have a way to interact with them. They've given us opt-in permission to contact them. So it's not just about, hey, these companies bought this. It was very much focused on how much net new lead generation or pipeline activity can we create through this event. So working with a company that is used to tracking those metrics, I think first and foremost is important. So you can go at it alone, or you can partner with a marketing firm that understands how to report the results of your events back to your vendors. So in this case, Debbie, one of the things that you're offering to the MSP is helping them navigate how to apply, who to talk to, what events get the most traction, what events are more likely to be sponsored. If you ask me, the events that are most likely to be attended, not necessarily sponsored by a vendor, but nobody wants to come to your office for lunch, right? People will RSVP for that, but they will not show up, right? So abandon the idea of, unless your office is like a showstopper, and there are offices like that. If you look at the Datto office in Connecticut, for example, that was a show-stopping office. When you came into the Datto office and you saw that great big control panel, they had like an enormous wall of, it looked like NASA, right? That is a showstopper. Your office space in a strip mall in northern Las Vegas is not a showstopper, and people, even if they RSVP, probably won't come. We found sporting events, even local sporting events, right? Like those $12 baseball games, right? Where you get a box, you stock it with booze, and people show up. And so that always works really well. And you get to interact with them for an entire baseball game. They can bring their families, they can bring their kids, right? When you think about the things that people, like, if you're going to ask somebody to give you their time outside of a business hour, like outside of 9 to 5 business hours, my experience has been, is if you make it attractive to their spouse or their children, they are far more inclined to attend. golf, yes, everybody likes to go golfing, but it's very expensive and you can only interact with so many people at once. So getting someone to sponsor a golf tournament at an exclusive golf club when you are a bronze level partner, the odds on that happening are very slim. So
it's also it's a long day commitment out of the office, as much as people love it. So unless it's piggybacked onto some kind of event where people are already understood to be out of the office, it's hard to pull. That's lost selling time. So that there's that consideration as well. I think you're right. The baseball games have been very successful. I would also think that just thinking about experiential, right? Experiential kinds of things that create value, whether it's like fun value, but also where they get to really get to the heart of understanding maybe a technology solution, hands-on, anything that's hands-on, try and buy, you know, that whole try and buy concept that we've all heard about forever is something that actually still really works. And people forget about it, right? Because I've done some stuff in my IBM time where I built a program called Business Partner Innovation Centers, where the distributor flavor one was partners would come in to get trained and experience different kind of technology combinations. So more of a training and enablement aspect, but then there was the partner run centers where customers could come in and before they make the investment, they could actually see the technology at work because everybody's always afraid that when you change something, it's going to break everything else. So when you can show people new technologies or technology combinations, get that experiential thing going, make it fun. Think of fun delivery ways to integrate that. It's memorable and it's just fun. I've done some stuff, some events where even for MSPs, helping them to really understand some cybersecurity strategy building, we've done it through some of these strategy games, right? And you put the cybersecurity angle to it. So any way where you can get people to really feel really engaged as opposed to just sitting and listening to talking heads talk up and down, which is the typical, not to diffuse that and say it's so bad, but those are typical events where some presenter gets up and then the next person goes up and talks and change it up a bit, get that experiential aspect, think about ways to creatively do that. And I'm happy to brainstorm with people on ways to do that. But I think that's what makes those events memorable and really makes an impact. So whether you're going to upsell, cross-sell somebody, or whether you're going to get a net new client, it's really important to think of those creative ways to engage.
That's all the time we have to talk about MDF with Debbie today. If you need help navigating applying for and planning for the use of joint marketing funds, if your vendors have any available, make sure you talk to Debbie, learn more about Debbie, connect with Debbie on LinkedIn. So Debbie, any parting comments for us before we call it a podcast today?
Yeah, you know, just basically, hopefully this was a little bit helpful in terms of things to think about, key takeaways, be proactive, try to find your focal point at the distributor or at the vendor, apply early, apply often for funding. And again, I'm very happy to help you navigate that. If you don't have a dedicated person to help go pursue that and take the time to do that, I'm happy to help you reach out and find out that information, find out what you can qualify for. I'm reachable at Debbie@KestenImpact.com and on LinkedIn. I'm happy to see if I can help you just grow your business and don't leave that money on the table. Who would leave money on the table, right? So
let's go get it.
Go get it. We want to help you go get it.
2024, the year of free money. Let's go find some.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Debbie, for joining me today. Again, my name is Carrie Richardson, and I'm looking forward to seeing everyone again very soon. Have a great afternoon.
Thanks. Thanks, Carrie. Thanks, everyone.
You've been listening to Win with Richardson and Richardson. What's important now? We're so glad you've joined us and know you're one step closer to winning big in your business too. We'd love to connect with you outside of the show. If you have any questions or comments, please reach out to connect@rnr.consulting.
Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast so you'll easily know when new episodes are available. Until next time, you can win, and we're here to help.